Fantasy Basketball Podcast. My name is Josh Lloyd, and you can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at redrock_bball. Facebook is facebook.com/redrockbasketball. Email address is redrockfantasybasketball@gmail.com. And there is the YouTube channel, which I'm not going to say its address, but you can go and click it on my Twitter bio on the website, and you'll be able to find it there pretty easy. So go ahead and subscribe to the YouTube channel. Today, I'm doing another In the Season in Review podcast, but I am not doing this one solo. I'm joined for his first appearance on the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball podcast. Welcome, Nico Miatello. Nico, how you going?
I'm not too bad, how are you?
I'm very, very good. It's good to have you on for the first time. And Nico, tell us a little bit about what you do and the sort of stuff that you're doing. I know you've been seeing you do some YouTube videos lately. What sort of stuff have you been up to?
I work with the In This League Fantasy Podcast Network. We do podcasts for basketball, football, hockey, baseball, everything. So I'm doing a YouTube show for football, and I'll be doing some more basketball stuff when that comes around. We have a basketball show for the draft coming up with Ed Isaacson and Dr. A coming up after the draft. So that's going to be good.
It sounds pretty interesting. Now, Nico, where can everyone find you on Twitter?
I'm at Nico ITL, Nico with a C, not a K.
So go ahead and follow Nico and have a look at the stuff he's doing on his YouTube stuff if you're interested in fantasy football and some of the basketball stuff that's coming up. Now, Nico, we're going to be covering the Houston Rockets today.
Yes. Yes, sir.
And Nico, bonus points for you. Do you know what that song is?
No, I lose my points.
Cool. No worries. That song is Rocket by the Smashing Pumpkins. It's quite an old song now. I'd say it's old, like it's from back in my youth, but it's a song called Rocket by the Smashing Pumpkins, and I would love to have played the whole thing, but I'm sure that's not what you're here to listen to. We're talking Houston Rockets, and we're talking their fantasy, their season in review, and just looking at what went down for the Rockets during the season. Now, a very interesting team. I think that's fair to say. All these teams are interesting to me because I do get interested by a lot of stuff. But obviously a ton of value with James Harden. A lot of other guys who were either disappointing. Injuries were a major part of the season. Let's start off. We always start off with the point guards, Nico. So we're going to start with Patrick Beverley. I'll ask you this question first. Are you a fan of Patrick Beverley?
Oh, yeah. I love Patrick Beverley. He's like Della Vadova, but didn't get the national attention yet.
I think he's a fair bit better than Dellavedova, to be honest. But he's a guy that's severely underrated in fantasy terms. As a head-to-head guy, he was ranked 99th in per-game value. Now, that risk cost him the end of the season, but there's no chance that he was owned in every league because people just don't value what he does. He hit over 2 3-pointers a game during the season. He got you over a steal a game. Now, he doesn't get assists, so he's not a traditional point guard in that sense. But over 4 rebounds, 3.5 assists, over a steal, over 2 3-pointers. Pretty valuable stuff. But is his future up in the air?
I think it might be. I'm pretty sure he will be back, but I'm not sure if he'll be starting next year. I think if he is starting, he's a top 100 to top 120 guy for me, but I'm not sure if that'll be the case.
Because of those rebounds, because of the steals, because of the three-pointers, he gives you it's a complete different skill set. And if you're a team that's punting assists, he's a great point guard to have because you've got to have a point guard, and so much of point guard's value come from assists. But he's a guy whose value doesn't come from assists. So you put him in there, you get good rebound numbers. Your rebound's better than a shooting guard, better than some small forwards. Plus you get that high three-point number. But you're right. In terms of him coming back, he's a restricted free agent. You'd think he'd be bought back, but the Rockets have a pick inside the top 20 in the draft, and every mock draft basically has a point guard going to Houston, whether it's Jerry and Grant, Tyus Jones, campaign slips. There's lots of guys that everyone's just suggesting that a point guard goes to Houston. Plus, there's Sergio Yule, who is drafted quite a while ago, and you would have seen me talk about him on my unsigned NBA drafts video on YouTube, and he is, it looks about 95% sure, coming over. What do you think of Yule if he comes over? Do you think that he's going to unseat Beverley, or is he going to cut into his minutes, or is that a real concern?
I don't think he'll unseat him. I think the guy he's going to cut into the most is probably Jason Terry. I think if Yule comes over, Jason Terry's probably not back with the team.
I would say that's pretty accurate.
Yeah, they're similar players. I think Yule will be more of a offense off the bench when Harden's not around. He'll control the ball. He'll be a scorer. I don't think he'll take Beverly's spot, but he could cut into his minutes a bit.
Well, Beverly only played 31 minutes a game this season, so I wouldn't be surprised to see him at that 31 or 30 again next season. You're right about Terry. He was okay for really, really deep leagues. He averaged one and a half threes a game in his 21 minutes, but nothing else. Didn't crack the two-assist mark. Doesn't get a steal a game. Only 7 points. 42 and 81 is his percentages. He still hits his threes at a 39% clip, so that's pretty good. But he's a million years old. He was good in the playoffs when you needed someone to step up and have the big game. But what happened in one every four games, one every five games, it wasn't consistent enough. And they missed Beverly hugely during the playoffs, I think. Mm-hmm. Pablo Prigioni is the other guy they've got around, another old European player. He ranked the season 174th in his head-to-head value. But look, we don't really need to be too concerned for him for standard leagues. His numbers end up being pretty good when you look at them on a per 36-minute basis. 2.5 assists in only 18 minutes is decent numbers. Over a steal in 18 minutes, 1 3-pointer in 18 minutes. You put that up to 30 minutes and they're great numbers. The problem is he's never getting 30 minutes, is he? It's just they're not going to go that way.
Yeah, no chance. Prigioni, he might even retire. I'm not sure he'll be back with this team, especially if we bring in a point guard in the first round. I don't see Pablo Prigioni as long for the Rockets.
He's signed on for next season though, so he has got a contract for next year. But and he was really, really valuable as well in the playoffs. A solid veteran guy there's no offense with him whatsoever, but he hits threes and he's a good defender. He gets steals. I think there's more of a role for him than what there is for Jason Terry. I could see him staying there as the third point guard behind Yule and Beverly, or another point guard if they're bringing it. Or they could bring in another point guard and just go, you know what, you can go to the D League for a year and develop him that way. But there's definitely, he provides a lot more value to me than what Terry does.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Terry guy this year. If he stays on the Rockets, if they resign him, I don't think he has any value.
Agreed. Let's move into someone who has a little bit more value than Jason Terry, and that is James Harden. He was a guy that, you know what I was doing before we started recording this, Nico? You don't, because I didn't tell you. But what I was doing is I was just searching YouTube and looking at people who had like broadcast their fantasy basketball drafts onto YouTube. And I was watching a draft and James Harden went at pick 11. Now, admittedly, this draft was a little strange. Chris Paul went at 2, Westbrook went at 3. But when I saw Harden, look, Steph Curry went at 8 and Harden went at 11. I went, that is just ridiculous, because he was the third overall player in head-to-head per game. He was number one in Roto for total value. He was quite frankly amazing during the season. I had him really high in my season, beginning of season rankings, maybe 2 or 3, and was really happy to get him at number 4 in quite a few drafts. He averaged 27.5 points, 2.5 threes. The real value there is 5.5 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, 0.7 blocks, 87% from the free throw line. There's no real evidence to suggest he's going to slow down. Or do you see any reason why he's not going to be a top 3 player next season?
No, I think he's a top 3 guy for sure. I was kicking myself because earlier in the year, I actually was having the debate in my rankings whether I like John Wall or James Harden better, because I always am low on Rockets guys because I'm a Rockets fan and I think I'm overrating them. But man was Harden way better than John Wall. Every league I got Harden in, I think I won. So
yeah, look, I'm pretty happy you could have got him real late. Like a lot of the times, if I would pick 4th, I just jumped on him. But I reckon if I was picking 6, I could have jumped on him at 6 as well.
Mm, yeah.
This is what he's going to be. He's going to be a top 3 player for the next 4 or 5 seasons. So yeah, good luck trying to pry him from anyone in a dynasty league. Good luck trying to get him outside of that top 3 or 4. He is what he is. He's a guy who just does literally everything for this team. And the fact that he actually started getting 2 steals a game and blocking shots, and he was on pace to average over a block a game for a good portion of the season as well. So the only thing that you worry about is he's been relatively healthy. An injury, but that's a risk with everybody. Like, and the value that he has is 81 games, 37 minutes a game. Does it ever get cut down? I would say no. He's played 38, 38, and 37 the last 3 years. There's no reason they give him less minutes. He can handle it, can't he?
Yeah, I think so. The only reason I could see them giving less minutes is if one of the young shooting guards takes a step forward and is able to spell him for a little bit longer. But I can't really see him having a lot less than 36 minutes a game.
That's a nice unintentional segue into Nick Johnson, who was the second round rookie. What did you think of him as a Rockets fan? What did you think of his play during the season?
He was good at times. He didn't really get in the game much earlier than like the last 5 minutes in a couple games. But when I watched him in the summer league and preseason, he seemed explosive. He can get to the rim. He can shoot a little bit. I can see him as like maybe a stash in dynasty leagues. I'm not sure if he has any value for next season, though.
I don't think he's got much value next season. But what he does do, you're right about the explosion, but he's a pretty good rebounder for his size. 5.5 rebounds per 36 minutes. He doesn't do a huge amount else, but he can score. He had the typical rookie, you know, poor percentages. Shot just 35 from the field, 68 from the line, and only 24 from three-point land. Those will go up, and they should go up pretty significantly next season. I think he's a good player. I think there's a fair bit of value in Nick Johnson. It probably won't be next season, probably won't be the year after, or it might be the year after, but you realize who's in front of him. So he's never going to be, Nick Johnson's a top 100 player. I'm talking that he goes from outside the top 450 to inside the top 250. And if you're in a deep league, that matters. But for all you guys in standard leagues, you don't really need to know Nick Johnson's name unless something happens to James Harden, and then you'd probably need to start learning about him. Let's talk KJ McDaniels. Now, this is an interesting situation with KJ. He's a restricted free agent. He banked on himself playing well, basically. As a second-round draft choice, he signed a one-year deal. So now he's looking to get a big contract or a bigger contract. He was invisible pretty much in Houston. He barely saw the court. He had lots of opportunities in Philadelphia, and he never fully grasped them. He ended up being ranked 220th per game for the season. But after arriving in Houston, 425th, he just didn't see the court. Are the Rockets going to pony up any cash to keep him?
I'm not sure they will. They have Corey Brewer also, who's a free agent, if I'm remembering that correctly. That's correct. And I think they'd rather keep him than KJ McDaniels. I like KJ as a player a lot. I liked having him on the Rockets, but I just don't see a role for him.
He's going to catch on somewhere. There's no doubt he's going to catch on. Now, he averaged over a block a game in 22 minutes, and that's where his value comes from in fantasy leagues, is the fact that he blocks shots as a shooting guard. He averaged 8 points, 0.7 threes, 0.7 steals, 1.1 blocks in 22 minutes. If he's in a 30-minute role, we're talking a guy who's a 10 with 1.2 threes, 1.2 steals, and 1.5 blocks, and that is superb. But he was in the situation in Philadelphia where he could get 30 minutes, and he never did. Now, there's a lot of speculation that Philadelphia weren't giving him big minutes because they didn't want to pay him big money as a restricted free agent, and it turns out they just didn't end up liking him, trading him away for Isaiah Cannon at the end, and didn't want to keep him around. I don't know what to say about KJ McDaniels. We did have a question about KJ come in from Richard Newell on Twitter, who's at RackMJN1. What happens to McDaniels? Will he have value next year? I'm going to go and say no. I don't think that he plays into standard league value next year anywhere. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, for the most part. Unless he gets signed by some team like, I don't know, maybe the Lakers. If Kobe goes down. Yeah.
And he can play alongside Kobe, though. He can play that Wes Johnson role in Los Angeles, I think.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't see him having much value unless he goes like literally to pretty much only the Lakers.
That's literally it though. There's almost, he's not going back to Philadelphia. You wouldn't have thought. Look, maybe he goes to the Knicks. Maybe there's some value there. I could see that, but outside of the Lakers and the Knicks, I don't see it. The other place potentially is maybe the Pistons, maybe, but. Not enough where I'm going to go, I need to go and acquire him in dynasty leagues because he's going to be blowing up next season. He might, but the odds of it are pretty low in my opinion.
Yeah, he's maybe worth that stash in your dynasty league, but I don't really see him as much else.
Which is unfortunate because he had a huge opportunity to put in some really big, really big performances last season and didn't do it. Let's move on to the other small forwards in this team, Nico. We'll start with Trevor Ariza, who was coming off a contract season and put in probably the best season of his career. And a lot of people were predicting a big drop-off in Trevor Ariza's performance. It was a minor drop-off. It wasn't a huge drop-off, though. And overall, he ended up being a really valuable fantasy guy. 42nd in head-to-head per game value was He played every game. So he was in head-to-head leagues, every game, he was the 16th ranked player overall, which is phenomenal. He hit over almost 2.5 threes a game, gave you 5.5 rebounds, almost 2 steals. Now, he's just brutal with his field goal percentage, and that was a big drop-off between his last season in Washington and this season in Houston, but a fantastic free-throw percentage. And overall, he was quite a surprise. Were you surprised with Ariza back in his second stint in Houston?
I liked him. He has a tendency to shoot like 1 for 1,000, it feels like, in games sometimes. But besides that, he is a really good player. He can guard anyone, and that gets him a lot of steals. I think he's a top 60 player for sure next season.
I think there's no doubt about that. And the reason why you say top 60, I reckon he's probably a top 50 guy. But the amount of – now, I don't know if people were – if you saw this happening on Twitter last season, but I saw it a lot. The amount of people sending me messages, I need to cut Trevor Ariza, he's useless, get rid of Ariza, because he'd go out there and score 9 points. But they'd ignore the fact that he'd hit 2 threes in those 9 points, have 3 steals, and grab 7 rebounds. And you go, you know, who cares if he had 9 points? The fact that you get 7 rebounds, and 2 steals, and 2 3-pointers more than makes up for that. So he's one of those guys where I stress it often, it's not about points. I don't care if he shoots 2 of 13. It doesn't really make that much difference. You know that's Trevor Ariza. He's a poor shooter, but you get everything else from him, and that pushes him down people's rankings significantly. So when I put out my top 50 rankings at the end of the season, and he came in ranked 16th overall, there was a bit of a, is Josh smoking crack or something like that? But yeah, he played 36 minutes. He played 82 games. He got you 2.5 threes and 2 steals and 5.5 rebounds. And that in itself, they're big, big numbers and big value commodities for fantasy. And he's going to play that same role. It's D and 3. I said that the wrong way around, but that's exactly what he does, and that provides value in real life, and it provides value in fantasy as well. Let's talk Corey Brewer. You mentioned him before. He came across from Minnesota, and look, he's such a weird player to get a grasp on, because he'll go out there and do nothing, and then you go out there and hit 18 threes in the next 4 games, and you go, Corey Brewer doesn't hit threes. Like, where is this coming from? And it's real hard to get a real handle on what he's going to do. He ended up playing 80 games for the season. As a head-to-head guy, he ranked 164th. He's probably slightly better as a rotisserie player. The likelihood, as you mentioned, is that they do bring him back and he plays that key reserve role. But it's not enough for standard leagues, do you think?
No, I don't think so. I think it's almost 100% they bring him back. Kevin McHale was on the team that drafted him, and there's been rumors that Maury's been trying to trade for him for years. So I don't think now that they got him, they let him get away. So I think Brewer, you can bank on it, is coming back to Houston. But no, I don't really see him as a standard league guy. Maybe if something happens to Ariza, he can step in and get you a couple steals a game. But
that's the thing. That's exactly right. If Ariza and he's also a great guy just to pluck off the waiver wire. I need to take a risk on someone to get 3 steals. Well, Corey Brewer is as good a chance as anyone, maybe outside of Tony Allen, to go and grab you just a bushel of steals. Because the amount of times that he would go there and get 5 steals, get 6 steals, and then just do something completely bonkers like score 50 points. Things that he just does weird things, and he's always got that opportunity or the ability to put something and pull it out of nowhere and put up those numbers. But as for drafting him in 12 team leagues or 14 team leagues maybe, but outside of that, I don't think so.
Yeah, he's not a bad DFS guy either. I don't mind him in a DFS team, because he does have that potential to go out there and score 50 points.
That's true. When you're playing in those large tournaments, someone who can go out there and just have those crazy nights and at pretty low salaries, they're pretty valuable.
Yeah.
Let's talk Kostas Papanikolaou. Now, there's been lots of reports coming out about him, maybe going back overseas, staying in Houston. What's the latest you've heard on that?
Well, I think he was pretty happy when they picked up his option, and they've pretty much guaranteed that they're not going to cut bait before that October deadline. So I think he'll be back in Houston, and he's the only reason. It gives me a little bit of pause on Ariza, because McHale seemed to love him. So I could see him coming in and maybe carving out a little bit of a role off the bench, getting 20 minutes a game late in the year.
It's good to see these European guys in their second season. He was really good at the start of the year. He disappeared with some injuries. He only ended up playing 43 games and 19 minutes. But the thing that stood out to me is a guy that was small forward and power forward eligible, but per 36 minutes, he got almost 4 assists a game, which is really high for a guy who's power forward eligible. Combine that with 5.5 rebounds, 1.4 threes and 1.3 steals. He's a guy who projects pretty nicely if he can get big minutes. Now, he's not a scorer, but he's a good passer. But you expect that scoring and the percentages will go up in his second season, regardless of his minute allocation. And he was always a decent guy for deeper leagues when you needed those out-of-position assists, because as you get deeper, it's really hard to find assists. And he would be a guy who'd be sitting around on lots of waiver wires who could go out there and get three assists from in limited minutes. So that's why I do like him, and I do like his dynasty prospects. I think that he can improve and he can grow as a player quite a bit, because he can play the three and he can play the four. Now, the four, Nico, there's a lot of bodies here. There's a lot to work out. I don't think we're going to be able to get a 100% clear answer on what's happening in this position, because there's just so much to take into consideration.
Yeah.
Is Josh Smith. Is Thomas Jones. Donatas Motiejunas. Three guys who all should start, really.
Even Kostas works into that a little bit, because he is the only big on the team that can pass.
Josh Smith's a good passer.
I don't think he'll be back. So
let's talk Smith now then. So you don't think he's coming back?
No, I don't have faith in Josh Smith returning to the team. I think he's gonna demand too much money to return, and he was a good player and I liked him. He was actually one of my favorite players in the league when he played with Atlanta, but I can't see him coming back.
I agree with you that he's gonna ask for too much money, because he wasn't getting paid a huge amount last season from Houston. I know he's getting paid a lot from Detroit, but only $2 million. They're not going to want to spend that when they're going to have... They'd rather bring Brewer back. They got Ariza there. And plus, they're going to have... That's at the three, but at the four, you're going to have Donatas Motiejunas coming back. And he looked really, really good. Were you impressed by what you saw from Motiejunas?
I like Motiejunas a lot. I think he's almost definitely the starter going into next season.
I would agree with that. We'll talk about him in a sec. But the fact that he's there, Terrence Jones is there. We saw the development of Clint Capela as well, who can play some four, and Papanikolaou. I agree with you that I don't necessarily think Josh Smith would be back. But we'll talk Josh Smith anyway, because we talk about what he actually did during the season. And he was a guy who was brutal to start the season in Detroit. Like, absolutely horrible. But when he got to Houston, he was a lot better. And, you know, watching Houston games, you would have had to have been impressed with the majority of what he did, correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was definitely... He was a good player. He was a solid role player. He started out a little slow when he first came over. He wasn't getting it done as a starter. But when they put him in that bench role, he was the entire bench unit pretty much by himself.
And at the end of the season, he was a great DFS player as well, because his price had dropped pretty low. In Detroit, he was almost unownable in standard leagues. In Houston, he ended up ranked just outside the top 100 for the last couple of months of the season, but that's still ownable in 10 and 12 team leagues. But that the percentages are going to be a problem. 42% from the field isn't actually that bad when you look at 50% from the free throw line. And that's the main concern. He actually shot 32% from three, which for him is a bit of an improvement. 12.5 points, hit a three a game, 6.5 rebounds, 3.5 assists, a steal, 1.5 blocks in just 28 minutes. They're really, really good numbers. And it all depends on where he sort of falls next season. But I would say that he's going to be in a role where he plays pretty decent minutes, and it's going to mean that you can look at him at the end of your 10 and 12 team league drafts. We're not thinking of Josh Smith as that top 20 guy from 3 years ago. We're not thinking of him as a top 60 guy. I would say he's probably a top 100 to 120 sort of player. Sound about accurate?
Yeah, I agree. He's also one of those DFS guys. He's never going to go out and get 50 points, I don't think, but he could get a random 5x5 at any given time.
Yeah, man, that ties in with a question that Hal O'Brien here, who's on Twitter, at Pirate Bro. He just said, Maury is a big-time analytics guy, so how does Josh Smith and Dwight Howard together make sense moving forward? They probably don't to a degree, but Smith, as said, Smith was not Detroit Smith when he was in Houston. He was a different player, and they really did. Like, I heard Kevin McHale talk about him. I heard Daryl Morey talk about him. They loved his ability to be a playmaker because of their lack of point guards. They had James Harden and Josh Smith as really the only two guys who could be a playmaker on this team. There weren't many other guys who were out there and could actually make things happen. So he did hold a lot of value there, but I think the money is probably going to be the biggest concern for Josh Smith next season. Let's talk Terrence Jones. Had a question on Instagram from Jasmine come in, who's on Instagram at jsierra_b. And she asks, what round do you believe you can sneak in and grab Terrence Jones in? and what value will he return in a standard format? Now, Terrence Jones was... He frustrates me. I don't know if he frustrates you, Nico, but he frustrates me. He started the season. He went out with that lung issue for a long time, eventually worked his way back into the starting lineup and put up decent numbers, but I always get the feeling that Houston doesn't like him. Am I crazy?
No, I think you're pretty much correct. Like, Mikhail, in the preseason this year, every chance he got to talk about Terrence Jones, he was almost dogging him. He said that, like, he can't pass, he can't shoot. He would just say bad things about Terrence Jones constantly. And then all of a sudden, he goes out for the whole season. I had him on my bench in, like, 14 and 16 team leagues, just sitting there for so long. And then finally, when I dropped him, he came back, and I hated it. But he's one of those guys that drives you insane.
Now, Jasmine asked, like, where you sort of look to target him. In my opinion, he's probably going to get drafted way higher than what he should, because the amount of, like, I got bombarded with questions about Terrence Jones. Like, when he went out with that lung injury, it's like, do I hold on to him? Like, no, like, he's going to be out forever. And it was like, when do I grab? Oh, Terrence Jones is due back in 5 weeks. Or, do I pick him up? Like, no. You don't pick him up. Everyone loved Terrence Jones. And look, it's fair enough, because when he was given the opportunity, he put up pretty good numbers. 11.5 points, half a three, which is pretty good for a guy like him. 6.5 boards, almost two blocks, 53% shooting. But you always got to look into what the coaches think. And I just don't think they like him. I just don't think that Houston like him. And he was really helped at the end of the season by Motta Yunus' injury. And that's why he was able to get back into that starting lineup and why he was able to put up decent numbers. Because if Motta Yunus had been healthy, I don't see Jones becoming that guy who was standard league relevant down the stretch. I think I think that was a huge part of it.
Yeah, I think Terrence Jones reminds me of kind of like a poor man's Markieff Morris. And that's the kind of stats he's going to give you, a little bit lower in every category than Markieff, but the same kind of stuff. For the question as where would I value him in draft? I see him as, like, in standard leagues, probably rounds 10 to 12.
Yeah, he's going to go higher than that. I'm almost guaranteed he'll go in the 70s or 80s. There's almost no doubt he goes higher than that. And it just, to me, that's going to be too high, because I just feel like at any opportunity they have, they're going to be like, no, sorry, Jones, you're on the bench. Sorry, mate, just sit this one out. I just feel they don't like him. Look, even though when he plays, his numbers are incredible. He was 86 per game in head-to-head value, and that's only playing 27 minutes a game. But there's just something about the way he fits with Houston. And I wouldn't be shocked to see him traded, to be honest, because I just don't think they value him. Let's talk to Nardis Martinez, which is a guy who I do really like a lot. And he was putting up some really big numbers before that back injury, which came out of nowhere, by the way. Do you recall the situation under which that back injury happened? I just felt like one day I was like, oh, by the way, Martinez is out for the season. And we didn't really know anything about it. What actually happened?
I don't even remember. I don't even think it was during a game. It came out that he was day to day with a back injury, and then 2 days later he was out for the year. It was very surprising. Really sad.
Well, Houston handled the injuries like that all season. Jones with that leg problem. So I said lung before. The leg problem. It was just, oh yeah, he's got a sore leg. He's got a nerve issue. Yeah. And then a week later, he can't feel his legs. Like, what the hell's going on? Dwight Howard. He's got a knee injury completely out of nowhere. They just don't tell you anything. And it's extremely frustrating from a fantasy point of view, because we had all these guys just go down with it and not have any concept of what was actually happening. Now, Motta Yunus is a guy that developed significantly. He played 29 minutes a game, 12 and 6 he averaged. He needs to get his defensive numbers up, though. 0.8 steals, half a block. He hit 0.7 threes, which is great for him as well. But he needs those defensive numbers up. Is there anything in his game where you look at it and you go, I don't think he can ever develop defensive numbers, or is it something that's coming along?
I think it'll come along. I'm not sure he'll ever be much more than a block a game kind of guy, but I could see him being that one block, one steal, one three, the triple one club you like to talk about. I could see him being that kind of player in the future.
He's definitely on pace for that sort of production. And we saw the last month of the season, he only played 5 games, but he was 17 and 6. He hit a three, had 1.5 steals, 3.5 assists, and half a block. He had his free throw percentage up to 73. He was shooting 58% from the field. They're numbers that are top 20 sort of numbers. And I don't expect him to average 17 and 6. He's more of probably a 13 and 6 sort of guy. But a three a game, 1.5 steals, half a block to a block, plus his playmaking ability, which improved significantly throughout the season. If he can become a big guy who can dish 3 assists a game, well, then he's a guy that you want to look at in all 12 team leagues. And I think he should be drafted in all 12-team leagues next year, and I think he's going to take a significant step forward. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, for sure. I'm not too sure about the assist numbers, though, because he seems to, if he gets his assists around three, he's going to get his turnovers a lot higher, because I feel like every time he's throwing the ball back out, it almost gets picked off. He's got problems.
That's true. His turnovers did increase. If you look back to his 13-14 season, he averaged 0.8 turnovers and 0.5 assists. But last season, say the last 3 months of the season, he was at 2.1 assists and one and a half turnovers. So at least he got his assist to turnover ratio in the positive when it was a negative or less than one number the season before. So he did improve in that sense. He was obviously throwing more passes and getting more turnovers, but at least he got that ratio above one, which is something he'd struggled for in his first two seasons. He's going to take a big jump, I think.
Yeah, I think he'll probably take a big jump for sure. Just don't count turnovers in leagues. Service announcement.
Exactly. It's a pet peeve of mine. Even though I do play in some leagues with turnovers, I agree with you wholeheartedly. All right, should we move on to Dwight Howard?
You were just going to skip Joey Dorsey. He sucks, so.
Yeah, I think that's all we need to know about Joey Dorsey. He does suck. He sucks a lot. He got 4 rebounds a game, though, in his 12 minutes, which is something. But even when he started, he played like 15, 16 minutes. It wasn't worth it for fantasy. He's not going to get better. There are plenty of other guys on this roster with the potential to get better. And one guy that we're going to talk about pretty soon that I'm a little bit excited about. But let's talk Dwight Howard. He was, once again, he was pretty beastly for head-to-head leagues. He ranked 28th in per-game value. He's never going to be the Dwight of old. He's never going to be Orlando Dwight anymore. But he was 16 and 10.5. He was 1.3 blocks. He was 0.7 steals. He was a 59% shooter from the field on 10 attempts, which is huge. He was a piss-poor 53% from the free throw line, which wrecks you. And basically, I'll ask you a question, Nico. Where do you draft Howard in roto leagues?
You don't.
That is the correct answer, and that is the only answer. You do not draft Howard in roto leagues. You can't do it. It is, if you have Howard and you have James Harden, you're still not going to get off the bottom of the free throw rankings. And James Harden is that much higher than everybody else in terms of his percentage and volume that it means you have to draft every single position after that as a high volume, high free throw percentage guy, and it just wrecks the rest of your team. You cannot draft these guys in rotisserie leagues. It is impossible. It just can't happen. Because if anyone, look, I'm sure there's someone out there who drafted Howard and won a roto league, but you're probably the only person. It's just impossible to do. Mm. Where do we look at him in head-to-head leagues? Is he going to be better? Look, is he going to be better than last season after that mystery knee injury, which coincided with his child abuse allegations? is he going to be better?
He could be better, but I'm scared off the injuries. Maybe he's worth a top 50 pick to me. I'm not even sure. I would take Ariza ahead of him.
Yep.
I'm just scared of the injuries. He's great when he's there, but he's never there.
He looked really good in the playoffs, though. He looked almost back to his best in the playoffs, but you're right, the injuries are a real concern. Back, knee, whatever it is, there's always something going on with Dwight, and it's definitely concerning. I think that you're probably right. He's probably in that 40 to 55 sort of range, I think, only if you're willing to punt free throws. You can't deal with him in any other situation. And because his name's Dwight Howard, he's going to get picked a lot higher than that. You almost know that if you want Dwight Howard and you're going to punt free throws, you're going to have to probably go a round or two earlier than what his actual value ends up being because his name's Dwight Howard.
Yeah, he's one of those guys you need. If you're in an auction league, you throw his name out early and get all the money going towards
yes,
him.
Yes, he's in the top three guys. Him, Kobe, and Derrick Rose are the three guys you put out there. And you just get people bidding as much money as possible on them because you know you're not going to take them and you know they're going to get overvalued because they're just going to go way higher than what they should. And that's a very, very good point.
Yeah.
One guy left, Nico, and that is Clint Capella, the Swiss Miss. What did you think of his rookie season? It was almost non-existent, wasn't it, until the end of the season?
Yeah, he was amazing in the playoffs, though. He played some really great minutes. In that one game against the Warriors, I think he had 8 points. It was like 8 points in a minute and a half. He was insane.
He was very good. Now we had a question come through about Clint Capella from Barry Baker, the podcast question maker. Do you see any promising signs in Clint Capella? Yes, I see a lot. Shall I pick him up as he's on the waiver wire? Now, Barry's talking about a dynasty league here. Yes, I think because of what we talked about with Dwight Howard's injury history, Capella's not going to come in and play 35 minutes, but he can easily, like, he should supplant Joey Dorsey as that placeholder center starter or whatever bullshit Dorsey was doing last season. Capella should be that guy. He came along in leaps and bounds. All we had to look at, even in the regular season, 449th rank per game, but post All-Star break 221st. That is a big, big jump, and he could easily become a guy who's top 180 next year. Now, it sounds like nothing, but it's big, and he just looked, he was so raw at the start of the season. He just looked really, like, he's skinny as, but his defensive ability is great, his ability to get rebounds, and then his scoring. It was just a real surprise to see Clint Capella out there. Actually, it's not a surprise because I was relatively high on him at the start of the season, but it was good to see him get out there and get the minutes, and I think there's significant value in him. Do you ever see him as an NBA starter?
Yeah, I think he could definitely be a starter in this league. Dwight Howard seems to always have those kind of guys behind him who could be a good starter if Dwight Howard went down. He had Gortat for a while and someone else I can't seem to remember. But
Gortat's the biggest one that I can think of, that he was just there waiting and waiting for the opportunity. And yeah, you're right. I like Capella. I like him a lot. Like, there's a lot to like about, especially the fantasy friendliness of his game.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly. He doesn't kill you in any categories either. He never passes the ball a whole lot, but that's good for no turnovers if you play in a 9-cat. So.
Now, you mentioned he doesn't hurt you in any categories. I'll beg to differ slightly. He shot 17% from the free throw line. That's probably not that good. It's not that high.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think he's actually that bad of a free throw shooter, though.
He's not that bad. No one's that bad.
But I could see him around like the Blake Griffin mark, where it's not great, but it doesn't hurt you a whole lot going forward.
He's like a 65% sort of guy, I think. He's not a 17. He's not a Dwight Howard. He's not Drummond. He's not DeAndre Jordan. He'll be a guy that gets better. And a lot of that, I think, was nerves early on. He missed a whole stack of his early free throws and just, I guess, getting settled into the league. But he was a lot better in the playoffs. And I'm just going to have a look at his playoff free throw percentage, actually, because that might be interesting. So just talk amongst yourselves for a second. Where are we? Playoff per game, 52%. So there you go. So that's a significant rise from 17 up to 52. He also shot 68% from the field in the playoffs, which is fairly impressive. And his per 36 playoff numbers, Nico, 16.2 points, 12 rebounds, a steal, 2.6 blocks with 67% shooting. That's a glimpse into his potential. Whether he ever fully realizes it, we don't know. But there's a fair bit to like about him, I think.
Yeah, certainly.
All right, that's all of the players covered, I think, unless I missed anyone. Unless you really want to go back and talk about Joey Dorsey.
Yeah, no, I hope he's just the water boy next year.
Yeah, I think that he's probably underqualified for that. Now, any other Houston Rockets specific points you want to bring up?
Nothing I can really think of.
I think that we're done with Houston. So that was it. That was Houston. There's a lot happening with this team. A lot of decisions have got to be made in the off season. What they do with the draft, Sergio Yule, Corey Brewer, Josh Smith, Patrick Beverley's restricted free agency, KJ McDaniels. There's a lot of decisions. We could see some things changing in this team. But regardless of what happens, there's always going to be people with a fair amount of fantasy value playing here. Plus one of the top three guys in the league with James Harden. Nico, it was a pleasure having you on. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Anytime.
No worries. Now, give yourself a plug. Give your work, other work, a plug. Where are people finding you in the social medias and the websites and all that stuff? Where can people find your stuff?
Okay, at NicoITL on Twitter. You can email me at NicoMiatello@gmail.com. Any fantasy questions, pretty much in any of the four sports. Not so great with baseball, though. I write at ITL or inthisleague.com. Check out everything on ITL. There are podcasts I'm not on, but they're all fantastic.
Thank you for that, Nico. They are. I've been on the ITL basketball podcast two or three times. I don't know. A couple. They're good guys. They do some good stuff. So check out their podcast as well, and check out Nico on the YouTube videos, which I think you've had two of the football ones out. Is that correct?
Yeah, we have two of them out so far. We'll have another one coming on Monday.
What's that one on?
I think we're doing running backs by committee. So
cool. Sounds good to me. All right. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.